Is it driving you nuts? Oh, hallelujah. Well, since I let the cat out of the bag, so to speak, there, never quite for certain where that term came from. It had to have been somebody like myself, you letting the cat out of the bag, although I can't say that I would actually let it out of the bag because they're kind of like wild cats at that point. Who was it was telling me? Was that you telling me about the cartoon you saw? Or was that Katie? Was that you telling me about? Somebody told me about a cartoon they saw of the Grim Reaper cat. Was that you, Rob? It was hilarious. I'm probably going to mess it up because I didn't see the cartoon. You know, I'm not even going to tell it because it's already jumbled all up and you won't think it's funny. I've been told I should stick to preaching anyhow because I can tell a joke. Nobody laughs. Somebody else in here can tell the joke. The same joke I just told, and everybody laughs. I'm like, okay, I'm not gifted in that. But I do want to talk to you this morning about worry. And the reason I want to talk to you about worry is because the day and age we're in, everybody's worried. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, Pastor. You're right. Thank God I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Had this country known what was going to happen on the 11th 15 years ago, if they had known on the 10th, and don't worry, don't go getting yourself caught up in all the conspiracy theories that we knew what was going to happen. Maybe we did, maybe we don't. We don't know. All we know is we have to deal with what happened. But if we had known the day before, or even an hour before, and it was going to happen, we couldn't stop it. You talk about depression. You talk about something that you would not overcome. And we're going to start actually with there. So let's go ahead and open our Bibles to Proverbs chapter 12. Let me get my eyeballs out here. Verse 25, it says, anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad. Anxiety is just a fancy word for worry. And worry is just another fancy word for fear. Worry and anxiety are rooted in fear. That's why the Bible says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a sound mind. So many people today, they're so anxious about what's going to happen tomorrow. I find myself sometimes at night, if I've got a big day or I've got this, even when we went on vacation, it took me 2.5 days to leave Morrow County behind. Everything that was going on, it took me 2.5 days. I'd catch myself thinking, and I'd just sit there naked, and anymore, my family busts my chops more than I can tell you. All right, Dad, who are you talking to? Who's the conversation with? And I'm looking at them right in the eyes. And you caught me again, huh? And the problem is it's all made up stuff. Stuff that will 99.9% of the time never happen. But yet my mind is a-going. It's a-running. It's getting anxious. And I can't tell you how many nights I've laid there 3 o'clock in the morning. It's like, I've got to quit thinking about this. I know some of you in here are in the same boat with me. Your mind will not turn off. Well, read the word, Pastor, read the word. Are you kidding me? Listen, I've had people for years tell me to do that. You know what happens with me? My mind starts going on that rabbit trail. I start looking up messages and then next thing you know, boom, boom, boom. Next thing you know, there's the sun. I hear the birds. I've done that a few times. The robins, they're up long before we are. They're out there chirping. And I've had to learn how to put that to rest. And I'll be honest with you, sometimes we're all different. Everybody says, just go to the Word and read the Word. It'll put you... Okay, listen, what are we saying about the Bible when we say, read the Word and it'll put you to sleep? Seriously. Because I was like, man, and it did. I'd lay there and read my Bible and go to sleep. And then it dawned on me one day, what am I saying about the Word of God that it puts me to sleep? Because normal reading doesn't always do that. I can read chapters upon chapters upon chapters. And the devil coming at you. I'm trying to go to sleep. So no, it's not the devil coming at me. It's I need to learn not to be anxious. I needed to learn to put this stuff in God's hands. There's nothing I can do about some of it. Some of it will never, ever, ever, ever happen. But yet there I am thinking about it. When we get anxious about things that we cannot control, and we know we can't control them, we get depressed. And what happens? Here's some things that happen with people who get depressed. One is anger. I know that sounds like a total contradiction, but it's not. They're depressed because they can't control it. So the only way they know how to control anything is through anger. The other one, they go into a shell. And both of them are wrong. Nowhere does God tell us to crawl into a shell and hide away from society. The other one, God says, be angry and sin not. See, that's the problem. When we're that angry, we sin. We take it out on people around us. Now, I'll be honest with you. 15 years ago, I think one of the, and as I was watching those news, the video was made up of all the live feeds they were getting. And, you know, and they said, we obviously, you know, you remember when President Bush said this was obviously a terrorist attack. We never tried to bring retribution for a couple more years. Yeah, we did little skirmishes here and there. Y'all remember 1983? Some of you do, some of you don't. I do. And right off the corner over here is a Marine veteran who was there at Beirut when it was blown up. Do you remember what President Reagan did? He didn't say, boys, we're going to give you 90 days to surrender. He said, you know what, you coward? Watch what we're going to do. He bombed the man who took credit, his house. We took the fight to him. And what did that man do? By his name's Muammar Gaddafi. He crawled into a hole and stayed there for 25 years. He was afraid to stick his head out. He wanted to wait till Reagan was dead. But no, we've come in our world now. Well, you know, we got to think about, listen, Russia has snubbed us the other day if you weren't paying attention. President Obama told him, you know, you can't do that. He said, listen, Barry, you get in my way, I will bomb you. Did anybody see that? How many of you missed the gaffe we got from China? They didn't bring out steps to the plane. He had to exit the servants. Do you know what just happened in their eyes? We just bowed. Because we're worried about everybody in the world. Reagan wasn't. I guess I'm getting off onto the wrong subjects. But I need you to be thinking about all the different things. He wasn't worried about all that. Well, how's this going to make our Arab friends feel? Listen, we don't really have too many Arab friends in the world of the Arab world. Read your Bible if you're sitting there telling me, yes, we do. The Bible says his hand will be at every man's throat and every man's hand will be at his throat. That's Ishmael, the father of the Arabs. Well, so what are you saying, Pastor? Now I'm thinking and worried about this. Well, stop worrying. You're not going to stop anything. Things that are happening in this world right now are happening for a reason. There is a reason and a purpose. There was a reason and a purpose. God hardened Pharaoh's heart. There's a reason and a purpose. God is allowing all this to happen. All you need to do is trust him. Has any of you gone hungry in the last 15 years? No. To be honest with you, I've gained about 20 pounds. No, not one of us has gone hungry. Trust God. Don't be anxious about this stuff that you're not going to be able to change. Oh, by the way, 15 years ago, I had cow legs. They ain't there no more. Because I was letting anxiety and worry get me. Every time Monica would cut my hair, she'd just like, you know, Pastor, they stress and worry and all that. I said, like, yeah, I know. Man, my grandpa must have really been a stressed out man. Because after that, everybody says, oh, you look like your grandpa. I thought, oh, man, I'm in trouble. He was a good-looking man. But don't be depressed. That's what happens. We get depression in us. We get angry. We get melancholy. We become Eeyore. There's nothing good in the world. Listen, leave Eeyore in his little hut out in the rain. Eeyore doesn't want to come in. And I got to tell you about that. There are people who love their depression. I know that sounds weird. They don't know how to live without it. Just like people in their anger. They don't know how to live without it. I told you about my pastor in North Carolina. His brother, was he born blind? But he went blind as a child, I think. And they would pray for, and they'd ask him, he said, do you want us to pray for you to receive your sight? And he was so worried about how he would survive. Being blind, he was pulling disability. But if he got healed, he's going to lose his disability. He didn't know how he was going to survive. So he did not want to be prayed for. There are people, they love the attention depression gives them. Personally, and I know what, I've actually dealt with it a little bit. And I'll be honest with you, I don't like the way it makes me feel. Oh man, I don't even know why I try anymore. We cannot continue to roll around in the quagmire of depression. It's a trap. That's a big fancy word for a trap. All right. Now turn to Philippians chapter 4. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Now, here's the problem. Most of the time, we only talk to God when we're in trouble or in need. And we're in worry, aren't we? We're worried. We're fearful. Oh, God. Oh, Lord. Okay, first off, we should always pray for our leaders. Always. That's what the Bible tells us to do. Not just when they screw up. Not when there's just a scandal. Not when we're trying to get them impeached or whatever. That's the only time most Christians pray for their government. But every time we pray, God knows we're going to pray when there's a problem, doesn't he? He already knows. That's why he said, don't worry about it. Be anxious for it. Don't be anxious for it. But in everything, with prayer and supplication, give thanks to God. Father God, I thank you that you're God. I thank you that the heart of our rulers is in your hands and you turn it like a river however you desire. Is that not what he did with Pharaoh? He turned his heart. You know what he did? He humbled Egypt. Don't sit there and think that this country wasn't asking for a humbling. We had become one of the most arrogant countries on the planet. Yeah, everybody wanted to come here, but they didn't like us. They'd become like Gandhi. We like Christ. We don't like Christians. We like America, the concept, we don't like, it's arrogant people. Because we go overseas and we think we got all these rights over there. Well, I got a right to speak what I want. No, you don't. Just like people that are over there, they don't have rights in this country. When did that happen? You don't have, yeah, we'll read you your Miranda rights, but you do not have the right to bear arms in this country if you're from Canada, if you're from Mexico, if you're from Japan. Does not matter. Russia, it does not matter. The rights of an American belong to those who are American. We will still give you a fair trial. But your rights are in your country. Because I can promise you, I know guys who've gotten in trouble overseas. And the first thing they told me, told us when we got to Japan was, boys, you do not want to mess up over here. Why? We didn't have rights. If we committed a crime on Japanese soil, we were paying the Japanese price. And I know guys today, they are still in prison. I can do whatever I want. You know, we conquered this land. We gave it back too. It's theirs. We can't go do what we want. So we can't be anxious for a bunch of stuff. We can't be worried about stuff. Our children. I'm sitting here thinking yesterday, you know, we got the call. We were just getting ready to start our day. We were going to go to a flea market, swap meet type deal. And, you know, we were just getting in. And Angela gets the call. And all I could hear on her, well, they'll probably cite Jesse. And I'm like, what the heck is going on? And then I get a call from Joshua. And Joshua says, it's the other guy's fault. And one of the things that just did me so good was Joshua said, I'm glad he's a good driver. Because we had rolled. And I had to stop and think, Job. Job lived in fear for his children all the time. The Bible says he was out burning offerings. And I got to tell you something, folks. Really, seriously, I am the least religious person that you will find as a preacher. Preachers today are telling you. Just some other things. I got a little look and a smile. Yeah. Preachers today will tell you, you got to get up every morning, you got to plead the blood of Jesus over your family. If you don't, evil will come upon them. Baloney. I haven't gotten up and prayed the blood of Jesus over my family for quite some time. Why? Because the blood of Jesus didn't go anywhere. It didn't leave. I don't get up every morning and say, Jesus, please forgive my sins. That's saying the blood of Jesus washes off every day. Every sin I will ever commit is already forgiven. The blood of Jesus covered it. Now, will I from time to time pray? Yes. If I feel unctioned by the Holy Spirit to pray for my family, to pray for protection, I do it. I do not live my life in fear. Oh, I didn't pray for them. Oh man, what's going to happen? That's fear. That's worry. That's what got Job in trouble. So when we got the report, you know, Angela, she's over there talking to Tony, and then Joshua calls me from the site, and he's telling me what took place. Fear never once entered into my heart. I knew they were all right. As a matter of fact, I even got a notice, a text from Verizon on my phone that Jesse's phone had dialed 911. Didn't even dawn on me. I think it came in after the call, though. But in all of that, I never feared. I don't fear. I don't worry about my family. What was I to do? You know, so many people would have said, well, you know, I'd have left. I was up by Hartville. I was North Canton. It would still take me an hour and a half to get home. They were all right.
Well, Pastor, I got my kids. I mean, listen, your kids don't mean any more to you than mine mean to me. And I will kill for mine. You ready to step up to that bat? Because I'll do it if I got to chew somebody's ear off, if that's what it means. But I didn't fear. I wasn't worried about what was going to happen. The devil tried throwing it at me because I told Joshua, I said, I need you to go make sure you're standing over by Jesse between him and the other guy. And I said, and just later on, when he's giving a report, go over and make sure that they know the brake lights weren't working nor turn signals on that truck. He had not signified he was going to turn. To which the state trooper did not fall for his lie that he had his turn signal on. She's like, you ain't got no lights working, period. That was the only thing that tried to creep in, and then I just like, you know what? I'm not getting into a drama about this. That's what happens. We make it a drama. We got to make it a whole production. Let's get a song and dance in on it. We love to wallow in it. And the truth of the matter is, had I gotten worried about that, it ruined my day. Because I was going to get mad. I mean, and then the devil even tried to bring it up, you know, and then it kind of dawned on me there for a second. Okay, wait a minute. 2/3 of my sons were in that truck. The devil tried to kill my boys. Now I'm mad. But I'm not going to worry because that plays into his hands. He's the one who holds fear. He's the one that makes you worry about it. Oh, the Ebola virus, I can't do that. Have you guys noticed how the Ebola virus kind of went away mysteriously while there was a scandal going on? Come on, let's not be stupid. And I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I haven't actually seen what they're talking about. This happens. Every time there's a political scandal, there's a new disease we got to be freaked out about. I got a sister, she's deadly afraid. She swore him down. She had Ebola at one time. And it's like, okay, honey, calm down and breathe. You do not have Ebola. You are worrying yourself, and that's what's making you sick. Worry will actually have effects on your body, will it not? I know, I know personally people in here who will shake their head, yeah. Ulcers, loss of hair, stress, aging. It does everything to you, is what worry does. It doesn't bring you any happiness. I ain't found one person who was worried that was happy. It's just, the happiness and worry do not go hand in hand. We can't control what's going on in the world. We can pray and say, Lord, I give to you my livelihood. We tithe. And that was one of the things I told Angela yesterday. I said, the Bible promises me in Malachi that if I tithe, it says he will rebuke the devourer for my sake. Jesus said the devourer comes to kill, steal, and destroy. By the way, the devourer has showed up in my house a lot this week. Last Sunday, I tripped on, have no idea what I tripped on, but I tripped and fell on a motorcycle jack. I landed on the metal strip that's about that wide and that long, right here, 185 pounds, one spot. I ain't going to lie, I'm sore. And it's hard to breathe sometimes. Nothing's broke, but I will say this, because I don't bruise, I am a little ticked. I don't have a big purple bruise to show you for glory. I'm just sore. I got to deal with the pain without the glory. There's something wrong with this. Because it's still sore. But the devil comes to take things from you. And if he can take your joy is your key in maintaining your faith.
Oh, Pastor, you know what they're talking about? Heart. Look, the little fuzzy worms. I've never seen them like this in a million years. You ain't been around but 10. Those little caterpillars have been crawling across the roads ever since we started making stinking roads. I'm sorry. Well, they're fuzzier this year. What, you took one and counted every little hair? Well, they've got stripes. Yeah. Why does a horse have spots? Why is the pattern different? I don't know. Maybe it's a sign of climate change. Why do some of us, when he's my step-grandfather, but before he died, I've got more gray hair than he had. His hair was still coal black. His children have gray hair. He, at 72, had black hair. Why? Don't know. All I can tell you is climate change. No. Why worry about it? You know, Jesus would go on. Let me, might as well get back into the scripture here. Go to Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Oh, but Pastor, you know, I'm down to one pair of blue jeans. Well, wash them every day. Oh, but I don't know if I can do that. Yeah, you can. You wash them before you go to bed, wring them out, shake them out, hang them up on something, hang them over something. By morning, they should be dry. And put them on. Don't worry about it. Continue to trust God. Jesus would also go on to say, does worry help you grow? No, it don't. Tried it. 6 foot. Just want to be 6 foot. 4 inches. 4 lousy inches. So it doesn't help. So I quit worrying about that and I've stopped shrinking. You know, and here's a hilarious thing. We worry about, I'm going to use the height thing. We worry about the height because, well, you know, if you want to be a basketball star, well, everybody knows the great basketball stars are 6'6", right? You know, they're awesome. I was watching Slam Dunk. How many of y'all remember a little guy named Spud Webb, 1986 Slam Dunk champion? How about Nate Robinson, who's currently 5'2"? I watched him at the slam dunk contest run with the basketball in his hand, jump, I can't think of the guy's name, but he's 6'11", cleared the guy's head, and slam dunked the ball. The guy he jumped over just dunked the ball at 12 foot, and they couldn't get the forklift to go any higher because they said he made it look too easy. And that's been my thing all the whole time. Listen, you're over 6 foot, I'm not impressed that you can dunk the ball. You're under 6 foot, I'm impressed. Oh, yeah, look at me, I'm 7'2". Yeah, you can do that standing on the ground. Come on. I can touch almost 8 foot just standing flat-footed. That's not impressive. But 5'2", man, jumping over somebody who's 6'11" and dunking the ball, that is impressive. And it didn't stop him from playing professional basketball. Our limitations are things we put on us. Well, you know, I'm just not that good. Listen, I do want to talk to you about this. So many people today, humility, maybe I need to talk more, preach a little bit more. Humility and pride. They're opposite ends of the spectrum. Bless God, Angela, you've got such a wonderful gift of singing. Now, and she has changed her, because we both come to this revelation, say thank you. She has a gift. She will tell you her gift is from God, as all of our gifts are from God. But if she doesn't have confidence in her gift, you first off have to own your gift. It is yours. God gave it to you. Use it. But if she does not claim it, she won't have confidence in her gift. I don't care if you're playing piano, guitar, drums, whatever it is, you're singing. If you don't have confidence, you're going to be awful. And let me tell you a little something God showed me about that. If you don't have confidence in a gift that you said is from God, you don't have confidence in God. Oh, it's all to His glory. I'm sick and tired of hearing people do that. Because some of them are the most arrogant people I've ever met. I met some world-class musician one time. I mean, he really is world-class. Okay? And I got to be in a position, unlike a whole lot of other people. I was the sound man for a little bit. And I've got to tell you, as anointed as the gift he had was, he was the most arrogant person I have ever met. And he's been on, you name it, and claim it, I don't care whose TV, he's been on it. He toured with a well-known preacher. He is world class. Okay, I'm not kidding you. His talents are in demand. But he has become arrogant. And you know you're arrogant by the way you treat people. And that was the key. I understand demanding excellence. However, it doesn't give any of us a right to mistreat one another because it's our gift. If somebody's doing the best they can with what they've got, suck it up, princess. It's not their job to make you look good anyhow. It's God's. And if your faith and confidence is in God and in your gift, as you said, then carry on and quit worrying about it. I do ask for excellence in the best you can do. The best you can do. Are there greater musicians? Probably. Not in my eyes. Are there better preachers? Definitely. But not in my eyes. I have confidence in the gift God gave me, the gift of gab. I can talk. Don't know why. But I'm only up here because God wants me here. I'm only up here. I can only do what I do because of a gift God gave me. And I walk in that confidence. I'm not running up and down the road looking for preaching opportunities, because I've got to tell you, most of the time those guys are only looking for an offering. You want a preaching opportunity? Go to the store. Pay attention to the people around you. Pay attention to the old man who's walking in the grocery store by himself because he just lost his wife. That's an opportunity to preach. This up here, the fivefold ministry, in my opinion, has elevated itself to godlike status. Yes, I do believe we will be held accountable. I do believe God will hold us to a stricter tolerance. However, Jesus said, if you want to be great in my kingdom, you need to become the least, a servant. And here's one thing, I've heard this preached, in my opinion, wrong. Now, my job as a pastor, as a preacher, is vitally important. I do not make light of that one bit. But when Peter said, it is more advantageous for me to preach than to go serve somebody, Peter screwed up in my book. Peter should have said, watch what I do. Didn't he not have the example of Jesus Christ? Who the night he was betrayed, sat down. He even washed Judas's feet. It is advantageous that we preach, but it's more advantageous that we serve. We don't need half the stuff we think we need. That's why I'm not worried about it. I don't need a jet. I don't need a mansion. I don't need a jet because they won't let me fly it. And if I can't fly something I own, what's the point in having it? I might as well pay the guy to get on his plane and fly it. But there's so many things that if we quit worrying about them, well, God, you know, Listen, God knows the desires of your heart even before you ask. And sometimes a delay is not a no. Oh, God, I need a girlfriend. Lord, I want a girlfriend. I can't tell you how long I prayed that. I had to find out all these girls liked me, but nothing would ever happen. And then finally I said, you know what? That's it. I'm joining the Marine Corps. There's bound to be girls there. That was kind of, I ain't going to lie, that was a motivating factor. There was a brochure of a male, and I don't know if she was a female Marine or not, but there was a male, and I thought, that's cool. There's girls there. They dig Marines. That's what my recruiter was telling me. Cool. Then I joined the Marine Corps and learned this little cadence. They say that in the Marine Corps, the women are mighty fine. They look like Phyllis Diller and walk like Frankenstein. And 4th Battalion is at Paris Island, which is where they train female Marines. And I got to tell you, it was a rude awakening. Rude awakening. But after I joined the Marine Corps, God said, all right, you can have a girlfriend now. If I'd have done this last year, would I have gotten a girlfriend? The delay isn't always a no. It's sometimes you need to get in my will. You need to get your life lined up with my purpose. Whatever's going on in the world, folks, you cannot worry. We can't sit here and worry about, listen, I'm about to embark on a video series that I've just got from Jimmy Evans. He's usually a marriage counselor, but he's one of the few prophetic teachers that I can honestly say has not got stuck on ancient interpretations of the end times. And I just heard him do probably only about 15, 20 minutes of teaching on this about the end times. But I told Angela, I said, I have not heard anybody else other than myself talking to myself talk about the end times the way he just did. And what he's talking about, folks, we are living. We're living in the things people said we wouldn't be here to see. And I got to tell you, Russia, this whole thing was prophesied. They would rise up. China, prophesied. They would rise up. All those nations, they're going to rise up against Israel. But I think you need to understand something. We can be the covering for the United States. Are you hearing me? We can be the covering for the United States. It's not that we're going to get off scot-free for what our president has said and done to Israel. I'm sorry, he is totally wrong. I'm sorry he ever said anything to Netanyahu. I probably messed that up. But we can be a covering and we can bless Israel as a people. We are the covering. Because those nations are going to rise up against. Both of those nations, I want to point out to you, I said Russia and China. They both have disgraced the United States within the last month. They've dishonored us. And by the way, China, it was such a big gaffe. They did it three times during that little visit. They wouldn't let the national security advisor near the president. And then I forget what the other one is. It was just all a big... It's like, seriously, people. The United States does have to take a back seat. It's what's going to happen. I've been trying to tell you this. We have to take the back seat. Because had this been the Reagan years, we would have M1 Abrams sitting on the borders all the way around Israel right now. Israel doesn't need us. We need to bless Israel, but they don't need our firepower, because God is going to show himself faithful to Israel. If you paid attention, that Hamas keeps throwing missiles and stuff into Israel. And as a matter of fact, I think they just bombed Syria again this morning for something they threw in. It fell harmless. It didn't hit anything. Syria keeps launching all these missiles into Israel. They ain't hitting anything. But Israel is devastating them. I think I want to be on Israel's side. I don't care about Syria. I don't care about Russia. I don't care about China, North Korea. Oh, you should be worried about them. What am I going to worry about? The only thing we can all do is have all of our world leaders there with their fingers on the button and say, 1, 2, 3, go. That's the only thing to take care of this. We just blow the earth apart. But God's got other things to come down the pike yet, so it's not going to happen. But anyhow, and I felt led to teach this today about this because of all the stuff that's going on in the world. Because we have probably one of the most controversial elections ever in the history of the United States. We've got more, I don't think I've ever seen this much mud. Neither candidate, in my opinion, has showed me that they, about the good that they can do, how they're going to do this. One in particular keeps throwing more mud. They've never showed anything that they're going to do good. I agree, we need to build a bigger. I've been saying that for a long time. Manufacturing has got to come back to the United States. That's our strength. What do you think got us through World War II? The commanding general over Iwo Jima, he went to school in California. He went around the United States. And after school, he went back to Japan. And he learned of the plans of the emperor. And he was the only officer who stood up to the emperor and said, we should not attack the United States, ever. And they asked him why. He said, because they are resilient and they're manufacturing. They can change what they're making in a heartbeat. If we were stamping out roller skates, the next day, we were stamping out weapons. Our women rose to the occasion in this country, which, by the way, has never been forbidden by God. Somewhere along the line, religion snuck in and said, women can't do this, this, and this, and men can't cook. If you go back in the Bible, you'll see that Jacob and Esau both were cooks. And in their custom, the men actually did the cooking. Just saying. That custom. Oh, Angela likes that custom. She likes that custom because my idea of cooking out is going to a restaurant. I can cook, but you see, he knew something that they didn't know. And it's exactly what happened. We were able to switch our factories over. We put a ban on make. No new models of cars came out. Manufacturing was all for the war effort. And what that also did was force the United States to rise up, get involved, and even though the Germans were the first ones in, I believe, into Berlin, we're the reason that Germany was defeated. Because everybody else was getting their butts handed to them in every battle. We got involved. It's not because we're such great people, it's because it was ordained by God. Because if you look at the sheer number of people that were killed, Iwo Jima alone, we lost nearly 7,000 Marines and sailors. 7,000 in one battle. The Japanese lost 20,000. Are you seeing what I'm talking about? The numbers were always astronomical. Yeah, it cost us a lot of lives. This war on terror, I believe we're somewhere in the neighborhood of about 7,000 or 8,000. Anybody? I think that's the neighborhood we're in, and for the whole war. We've lost that many men and women, which is a high price still. But if you understand, you can multiply that number by at least 5 to 6 to how many the terrorists have lost. God has blessed us when we've stood for what's right. But we need to step back. Watch what God's going to do for Israel. Not worry about what's going to happen. Well, you know, Pastor, they said to do... Listen, the only way evil people will get away with it is if you just walk around with your... like this. I see nothing. I hear nothing. We hide. They can only make you do what you're willing to let them do. Bow down or die. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, "Don't think so, Jack. We can only bow before the Lord God Almighty. We will not bow to your idol." Don't you think they hit them? Don't you think they threatened them? They can. Here's the thing. I'm going to kill your family. They're going to kill your family anyhow, Jack. Do you get it? We're afraid. And that is the biggest problem that out of the four planes that were crashed, only one of them missed its target. Because the people stood up. There were men on that plane. Because you know what they had, don't you? You remember. They didn't go in with Uzis. They didn't go in with machetes. They went in with a utility knife. It's got a blade that long. Sure, it hurts. I've cut myself numerous times with them. It's probably more painful than smashing your hand with a hammer. They had blades that long. And men sat there in fear. The world can only get away with what we will let them get away with. There's things we're not changing. We have to understand it. We have to come to grips with that. The world is going to get worse. The world as a whole is in deep doo-doo. Because every country, and Joe could probably, if we sit down and go looking, but every country I've seen so far that accepted homosexuality as the normal fell. Greece, the Romans, I'm sure a couple of the others did the same thing. Every one of them fell. We started accepting this. You do realize homosexuality in Europe's been accepted for a long time. We were the ones holding out. We defeated those countries. And now that we've accepted it, and this is, again, I'm going to watch these and I'm going to study them and learn them. And I'm going to teach you some of the things, the importance of why we should have continued to stand. Not only will we be overthrown by God, but there's a greater. I've always asked God, I said, God, why is sexual sin such a big to do with you? I mean, you go in the Bible and look at it. Yeah, there's a lot of sex in the Old Testament. A lot of weird things took place. The fact that God had to say you don't have sex with animals tells me a little something. But then there was a part he said, anybody who sins doing this just sins. I'm paraphrasing big time here. But he said, if you sin sexually, you sin against your body. And our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So therefore, there's a major tie. And he started talking about that. The purpose and why God does not accept it. Because if you watch the Olympics, for crying out loud, South Africa had was it a 400 or was it a miler? I think it was the 1500. They had a runner. It was a guy. It was a guy wearing earrings and braids, but everything else was the same. I feel like I'm a girl. Oh, I'm sorry, dude, but the tights are telling us you're a dude. I don't mean to be gross, but if you looked, it was obvious. But society says that's a girl. How many of you women in here ran track? How many of you ever beat a guy? Not too many times, right? It's not that I've seen some very fast women runners. There's a few of those sprinters today. I'm like, dude, that woman is flying. But typically, women are not faster than guys. So why does the Olympic Committee cower and say, well, we're not going to ask any questions now? What's to stop me from saying, you know, I realize I got short hair and all this, but I feel like a woman today. I want to run against her. You know what it tells me? I can't hang with the big boys. So I got to go run with the girls. Yeah. Yeah. See, a couple years ago, they said, we will do a DNA test, and if it comes up that you actually have more estrogen than testosterone, we will let you compete with the women. Then they said, oh, no, what's the word I'm looking for? What? Well, race, it's profiling. It's profiling. How's it profiling? I don't care what you have done to your body, what you cut off, what you add, your DNA will always say male or female. Always. And that's the one thing, ladies and gentlemen, they can't alter. They can't alter it. But it's got to happen. I don't like it. There's a lot of things I didn't like. And we don't like change. And this isn't good change. But it's changed to bring around the prophecy. Things will happen. I praise God. We have several teachers in here that they still stand for godly values. And I watched the movie God's Not Dead the other day. While it is a little bit of an extreme, and they had to kind of show. But it's coming. You can't say, you know, how many of you realize prayer is not banned in school? Teachers can't lead it, which I'll be honest with you, there's a few of them. I'm glad they can't. I wish teachers that are in here could lead the prayer. But there's a few of them I had that I'm kind of glad you couldn't lead me in prayer. But if Jesse wanted to stop for a moment and pray, there's not a thing anybody can do. But we've been told separation of church and state, which, Joe, is that in the Constitution? Nope. You know what it was? It was a letter from Thomas Jefferson to a Baptist minister telling him the state will not interfere with how you worship. Talk about taking things out of context. They totally twisted it. I don't know. It's wrong is right, wrong, right is wrong, and black is now white, and white is black, and it's just nuts. But these are some exciting times, because if you're paying attention to what God does for His people, we're going to see some great things happening. I would love to hear our president, our Congress, our whoever explain why Russia missed Syria with those bombs and went into Israel, and every aircraft they had was shot down, and Israel didn't lose a one. I wonder how they're going to explain that. Because Syria is not Russia's. And this is what Jimmy Evans was pointing out. And these are from reports that we don't get through ABC, NBC, CNN, or even Fox, because they're not released like that. There are countries today, countries and manufacturers, they will not use anything made in Israel. I'm excited. I'm not worried about it. I'm excited. Because that means that you do realize we joined spiritually with the covenant that Abraham had. We also are now descendants of Abraham through that promise. We're not Jews. Scratch that out of your little brain housing group. The promise that God said, whoever blesses you, I will bless. But if they curse you, I will curse. That should excite every last one of us. That God's going to have the last words in this. All right, I've gone on to a lot of things, and I've actually got myself where I want to go watch those videos now. I'm telling you, some of the things he started talking about, just, I told Angela, I said, I've believed that, but that is not the way mainstream Christianity has interpreted it, because, you know, and Tim LaHaye will tell you, this is my interpretation for a book of fiction. Do you know how many people are taking that as the gospel truth? There will be no end time antichrist opposition from the Christian. Not if they know what's going on. Jesus said, if you live by the sword, you die by the sword. And as much as I would love to join that group, that's not what God called us to. That's dealing with it in the flesh. All right, stand, please. If you're standing, I'll shut up somewhat. Continue. You don't, listen, there's so many people in your government. If you sit down and you pray for everybody in your government every day, you will have several hours of prayer time, which is great. But most of us don't have that before work or after work or whatever or at work. Start praying. You can get lists of, just go on the internet. Boom, 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 boom. Here's who's the Secretary of State. Here's the National Security Advisor. Here's the Joint Chiefs of Staff. You got all of this. They all need your prayer. Especially, in my opinion, the Joint Chiefs. People aren't paying attention to it. There's only a few nut job generals who are backing the ex-Secretary of State. But the others, there's been a few of them I know that if the wrong orders were given, they would rebel. And if you watch Rome, all those emperors knew, if I've got the general on my side, I've got the country. But if you don't have the top dog on your side, yeah, don't go to the next party in your favor. Be careful what you drink, and always look up. All right, well, let's pray. Oh, hallelujah. Father God in heaven, we thank you, and we do honestly, truly praise you, Lord, that we are living in such a time as this, Lord God, that even the prophets and the apostles, they envied us to be able to see the return of Christ. Now, Father, we aren't claiming we know it all. We aren't claiming that we know exactly how, when Jesus is going to return, because we know He doesn't even know. Only you do. So, Father, right now, for every person in here who's living in worry, Father, about tomorrow, about what's going on in the world, Lord, I pray right now that you begin giving them revelation and giving them peace that's going to pass all their understanding, and that they will be able to settle in into the role you have called them into this world. Father, I thank you and I praise you for all that. And Father, for those that are dealing with anxiety, with worry, and that depression that comes with it, Father, I pray you begin to give them the revelation. For Father, I know when I began dealing with depression, you gave me revelation. You didn't give me Xanax, you gave me revelation. And a revelation of who you are and who I am began changing how I felt. Father, give them that revelation. Give them that freedom and that deliverance. And Father, that they turn around and they tell that depression to take a hike and to never come back, in Jesus' name. And now, Father, I bless these people. I pray, Lord God, that as they begin their work week, Father, that they will feel renewed. They will feel rested, Father God, that no matter what comes during this week, Lord, that they are standing on your promises. Father, first off, that they're standing on the promises of Malachi, that you would rebuke the devourer for their sake. And as they go about their homes and their families, fill them with this peace that, Father, will even be felt by people around them. In Jesus' name, amen.